Welcome. Hi. Summer.
Yay. I just come to church to rest. Been remodeling my house this summer. Almost done. I hope somebody appreciates it. It's a lot of work when you don't know what you're doing. But I found that you can do anything with YouTube. Crawling under a sink with my phone. How is this supposed to connect? Really? Oh, we're having cabinet or countertops put on. And they said they'll provide a plumber, but they bring them from Portland and they charge you $150 just for travel time. I'm like, I can do this plumbing. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if I can do that plumbing. But I kind of like trying things I've never tried before. Hence, pastoring. I mean, at some point it was a great idea to start a church about 1991 or late 1990 when we had five kids and our fifth was just born. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to Jody and saying, I think the Lord wants to start a church. It seemed like a great idea. And it's been like 27 years. This is just crazy how long this journey has been with you guys. And so thank you. I felt like I needed to refocus for this summer. Just because, I don't know if you realize, but there's distractions everywhere and getting pulled away all the time. And so the last 2 weeks, I've been talking about staying focused. In the midst of craziness around us. And so the first week we talked about what we stay focused on, the focus of our focus, and that was on relationship with God, relationship with the Father. A lot of that came out. I was inspired by what Scott Precison shared the week before when he said, in passing almost, the most important thing in our lives is relationship with the Father. And so I was like, yeah, I want to stay focused on that. So we talked about that, bringing the first commandment back into first place, figuring out what's most important, digging into the Word of God, learning about the character of God, the power of God. And then the second week, we talked about distractions, dealing with distractions, and talked about what is a distraction, discerning what's behind distractions, what happens when the distraction is actually God himself who's distracting your life, who's like pulling you out of what you normally do and saying, no, not that direction, but let's go this direction. And those kind of distractions are exciting. And then eliminating the kind of deadly distractions that will literally take you out. And there, you know, I was later on this summer, I don't know when, I'm just not ready yet, but I really want to spend some time doing a series on people who are struggling with pornography. Because the statistics are brutal in that whole area. Like they think that like 60% of Christians struggle with pornography. And yet I've never talked about it. And so it's just, at least I want to bring it out onto the table and say, you know, this is the struggle that exists. Let's get through this thing together. Let's work through this thing together. Because those kind of distractions, which are hidden and not talking about, are literally taking out the church. And the way it happens is shame. So many, especially men, but not just men, so many guys are struggling and with the shame that's involved with pornography that it's just, it disables the church. It makes it really hard for us to have faith. It really makes it hard for us to believe that God is as strong as he says he is because of the struggle that we have all the time. And in a culture that's hypersexualized and full of lust everywhere you look, I mean, this is an amazing battleground that we're in right now. And I'm not trying to hype that up or make you feel like, you know, there's this battle going on, we got to get into the fight, but we need to get into it. We need to get into the fight. We can't just let these things happen to each other and the enemy take us out so quickly. So that's like a major distraction. But we're talking about dealing with distractions and staying focused in the midst of distractions. And then today I want to talk about finishing what you start. I've got a motto in my life, and that is, it's really simple. It actually came from Misty Edwards, and that motto is, if you don't quit, you win, period.
So quitting is not an option. Stopping is not an option. Backing off is not an option. And if you, I believe that if you have that kind of mentality, it was interesting. My son sent me an interview with the guy who killed bin Laden. I don't know if any of you have heard that. It's actually just a couple weeks old, the interview that he sent me. And the mentality of this guy as they headed into that operation was phenomenal. It was overwhelming. The focus that they had, there was a 90-minute helicopter ride into bin Laden's compound. And the whole time they were threatened with losing their lives. I mean, they literally, the guy who was being interviewed, who actually killed bin Laden, went to his family right before he left and said goodbye to him. Because they all, to a man, felt like they were going to lose their life. They thought this was going to be the last mission they were on. So they went into this with that kind of awareness. None of them, he said, none of us were afraid because we're highly trained. We know exactly what we're supposed to do. So it's not that we're afraid because we don't know how to do this mission. It was just apparent to us that we could lose our lives. And so on the helicopter ride in, which is 90 minutes, crossing the Afghan border into Pakistan, where they could be killed at any moment, these guys were sleeping on the helicopter. They were listening to music through their headphones. The guy that was interviewed counts to 1,000 and then back to 1, back to 1,000. And that's just the way he occupies his time. But he said, we weren't doing those things because we were afraid. The guys that were sleeping were calm. They were just prepared. They were ready to do it. They were focused at a very, very high level. And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, we are so not focused on what's going on around us. We get taken out so quickly, so easily. And so I think this thing is very real. Scott Precison and I were talking, or we're chatting, messaging back and forth, and we were just talking about how intense the reality is right now for us as believers, that and how hard it is to stay focused. And so today I want to talk about finishing what you start. God's got a plan for you to move forward. His plan isn't to sustain you or maintain you where you're at. Literally, if you're not growing, you're going backwards. I mean, it's really easy, especially with church attendance. If you just attend church on a weekly basis, you are in the upper 80% of Christians. There's 80% of the people don't go to church every week. In fact, the average church attendance is less than half the time. 1.9 weeks people go to, an average, they go to church a month. So you take that into, and I'm not saying that church attendance is the key to everything, but it's a good indicator of what we think is important in our life, because we don't find the strength and encouragement from being together that we probably should. This isn't the time for you to learn about God. This is a time for the believers to rally together and say, let's not give up. Let's not quit. Let's not bail on this whole thing, but let's stay together and let's finish this thing. Let's see this thing through. And so you got to be growing all the time. And you can't depend on church attendance for growth. It has to be something that happens between you and God. It has to be an awareness of how important he is in your life. And so he has a plan for us to move forward. We are compelled to move forward, not because of our own abilities and talents and strengths, because of who we are in him. It says in Job chapter 17, this is an amazing verse. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. And that's why we gather together. That's why we stay together, is because we want to stay strong together. It's so easy for our lives to become weakened just because we lose our focus. And I love what it says in Job about us moving, the righteous keep moving forward because they have clean hands. And then it says again in Psalm 24, David writes, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those with hands and hearts that are pure, clean hands and pure hearts. And that's like, stand up if that's you. You know, all of us struggle in that area. All of us struggle with clean hands and clean hearts. What does it mean to have clean hands in God's sight? Well, In both those situations, the word for clean is the word naki, which means, it's a Hebrew word, which means innocent, blameless, free, and guiltless. The whole idea behind that is that it's like a person who's liberated from slavery or released from an oath they made to something or someone. And so what David was singing about today was that desire, that hunger for freedom. To not be held back by anything, to not be taken out by anything, but to be free. So our innocence, our clean hands and a pure heart, that isn't something we negotiate with God. It's not like, well, look at these 10 things that I've done. You can see that my hands are clean and my heart's pure, Lord. It doesn't work that way. The reason our hands are clean and our hearts are pure is because what Jesus did on the cross, what Cindy was talking about. The purity comes from his shed blood in our lives. What he did causes our hands to be clean and pure. I mean, you can taint that, you can change that by the way you live your life, but the way we get that, clean hands and pure. We can't wash our hands and make them clean, but our hands are clean because of what Jesus has done. And that's a tough reality for us to swallow because we continually try to earn salvation. We try to earn the right to be in good standing with God. And yet it was all accomplished through his blood being shed on the cross. When we say that we are purchased with the blood of Jesus, we're made righteous and set free to follow him. We're no longer being held captive to our past, but we can press on to what we're created by God to do and created by God to be. It says this in Philippians 3. I don't mean to say that we've already achieved these things, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, or that I've already reached perfection. This is what he says. But I press on. I move forward. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved that, but I'm focused on this one thing. So if we're going to talk about focus, this is a good scripture to key in on. I'm focused on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to see what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know that we have about 88,000 thoughts a day. 80% of them are the same thought. What? About 88,000 thoughts. 80% of them are the same thought. Just repeated over and over and over again. We get so fixated on who we aren't and what we're not doing and how we're not doing it and what it's going to take, and we're so bound to our past and especially our history, we keep looking back to see how we're doing. Well, I'm doing better than I used to do. Well, I'm doing better than I did a week ago. I'm doing better than yesterday. And so we're analyzing our life based upon our past all the time. And yet we've been set free from our past. The guy I was listening to talk about this, he said, if we can just begin to visualize the future we want and move in that direction, we'll see changes in our life happening at such a higher rate. But we're held back so many times just because we indict ourselves with our past, which is exactly what Christ has set us free from. So it's really tough. I mean, the battle in our mind is a real battle. And we really need freedom from that. God directs our past to the degree that we trust his leadership in our lives. And you've heard me say this a lot, but I think one of the big downfalls of the church in the days ahead is going to be that we don't trust his leadership. We look at the way that Christ is leading us in our lives, and we think, that's never going to work. Or we think, because he hasn't done what we've asked him to do, that he's not big enough or strong enough or smart enough to lead us in our lives. What kind of leader would call me to do something and then wouldn't back up my act? I've prayed over and over and over again, Lord, for this one thing. Why hasn't it happened yet? And what we're really saying is, what kind of leader are you? You've called me to follow you, but you're not doing what I've asked you to do. And it just sounds crazy to even say it, but that's the way we think a lot of times. Is because he hasn't answered our prayer and done things like we've asked him to do, that he's not a good leader. And we become offended at God. And we push him away because we don't think, if that's the kind of God that you serve, I don't want anything to do with that God. He doesn't even listen to what I'm asking him to do. He doesn't do what I ask him to do. I think it's the other way around. I think we're supposed to be following him, not like genie in a bottle asking him to do the things that we want him to do. And it's tough because some of these things are really, I mean, you want your husband saved. You want your kids saved. You want this thing that's inside of you to get healed. You want the world to stop fighting, stop bickering. You want there to be peace around you. And so it's like, I've asked you and asked you and asked you, Lord, and still I don't see the result I'm looking for. You must not be a very powerful God. You must not be who you say you are. And we become offended at God. But literally, trusting in him and his leadership in our lives is key. It says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, the song. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. And then in Psalm 32, the Lord says, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. How many of you believe? Don't raise your hand. I'm not that kind of. How many know? I don't like that. How many believe he's leading you right now? I have a lot of faith. I believe he's leading every single one of you. And I don't even know what's going on in your life. But I know that you have called him to be Lord of your life, and I know he's leading you. You may not even believe it as much as I believe it. You may believe it more than I believe it, but I believe that he's leading you and guiding you in your lives. I believe that he's calling the shots, that he's leading you. And if we're not seeing the thing that we want to see happen, maybe the problem is not him. Maybe the problem is us. And a lot of the problem, I think, is not staying focused, not being able to focus on the thing that's most important. We risk being distracted and confused when we only look at our circumstances and then judge how our life is going by our circumstances. Well, I'm still sick. Well, my kids are still not walking with you. Well, I still got this crummy job working with all these unsaved people who cuss all the time and they're mean all the time. And the Lord's like, do you know how long it took me to get you that job? I want you to be there because you want to be around a bunch of Christians so that you can party, you know, so you can be relaxed and comfortable and all have a Bible study together. And I'm trying to put you into a situation where you can be a light, and you want out of that situation, you want a new job that's around all these cool people who are just like you. A lot of times, he really has something for us that we can't believe, that we've never seen before, and we got to be willing to go there. Isaiah chapter 43 says, this is God saying, I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers and dry wasteland. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you a path to be on that's going to be unrecognizable to you. You're going to wonder, this can't possibly be the path that God wants me on because it's brand new. You've never seen it. If you've ever started something that you've never seen anybody else do, you know what I'm talking about. And a lot of people, it's hard to do that. It's hard to find things that really nobody else has done. I like messy church. And this is a really messy church. I mean, there are all kinds of things that are not done, not completed. There are all kinds of things that need attention. There are all kinds of people who need some time, somebody to spend time with them. There are all kinds of relationships that are kind of busted up. There's work that needs to be done. There's changes that need to be made. But that's the perfect environment for the Holy Spirit to begin to work if you let him, if you give him time. And he can literally change the face of this congregation in a moment today. He could change the way we look at each other. He could change the way we look at him. He's that powerful. He's that strong. He's that mighty. So I think that he can provide a pathway through the wilderness. Some of us are in the midst of a wilderness right now. And we need to trust that he's leading us. Listen, he's leading you. You may not be listening to his leadership, but he's leading you. He's not waiting for you to get your act together so he can lead you. If Christ is in you, oh, holy smokes, that's crazy. If Christ is in you, the Spirit of God dwells within you, do you think he's not leading you? Do you think he's, even those nuanced things, those subtle things in our lives that we kind of take credit for because we're a good person and we're kind of talented and gifted and, you know, I'm pretty good at this stuff. Those come from him. He's the one who created you that way. He's the one who's living in you, working in his stuff in you, his path, creating paths for you in the midst of a wilderness. It's him. We may not be able to even conceive of the plans he has for us. So look at, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But just in one translation. I mean, it has to be the New Living because it says it in a way that really gets to the heart of the matter. And that is, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Let him transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You will do the things you think. Thinking comes before doing, which is a little scary if we do some pretty crazy stuff. We've actually thought that out ahead of time, that we've actually worked through the process of saying, yes, that's the direction I want to go. But he wants to transform us by changing the way we think. And he wants to do it with all of us. He's doing it with me right now at this moment. He's changing the way I think because right now it feels like, you know, if I'd listen to my mind, I'm thinking, you know, as a communicator, you kind of suck. I'm up here communicating. And yet those thoughts roll through my head. You know, as a communicator, you kind of suck, Jeff. He's changing the way I think. Because some of the words that I'm saying to you right now are from him. They're not from me. They're not from my notes. They're from him. And if I pay attention, I'm kind of enamored with what he's doing right now. I mean, I know at times, Dwayne, when you're leading worship, it's the same thing. Like, you kind of play something or sing something, and you kind of go, that was kind of cool. I don't know, I don't think I've ever done that before. I don't think I've ever played that before, said that before. A lot of what happens when you position yourself to be dependent upon him is pretty amazing stuff. Like when you're walking into a store and somebody catches your attention, and instead of looking past them, you focus on them. And you think, you look at that single mom and you think, oh my, how's she doing that? Three kids hauling around in a cart, trying to get her grocery shopping done. And so you start to think about this a little bit. I wonder how does she get them in the car? I wonder if she has the money to pay for those groceries. I wonder if she has a husband. And what you're doing is you're tapping into the heart of God. We'll talk about that in a minute, but you're tapping in to what he's feeling, what he's thinking, how he's seeing things. And it can go even further. If you, at that point, listen to his voice and say, what is it that you think about that girl? And he tells you, well, she's really struggling now, and if you'll go over and just say hi to her, that'll be the best day she ever had. A complete stranger just saying hi to her. No, I can't do that. I don't even know her. No, do it. Do it. Follow that lead. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you and moving through you. And it seems like a small thing to just say hi to somebody. But you'll go over there, and on the way over there, he'll say, you know, you have $20 in your wallet. Just give it to her. And don't make her feel stupid for taking it. Just give her the $20. And you give her the $20, and she starts crying. Because she didn't have enough money to buy the things she needed anyway. She's going to buy less than what she thought. This whole thing about being led by God is real. It's not like being led by God is what's my calling and destiny in the world. He'll tell you that, but a lot of times he'll tell you that this person needs a little bit of money and you've got a little extra, so why not just give it to him? We have no idea the plans he has for us, but he can change the way we think moment by moment. It isn't just changing the way we think about theology or about doctrine, about what we believe, but changing the way we think about each other. You may look around and somebody may catch your attention and you think, they just need a friend. Where does that come from? Are you that compassionate? Do you pay that good of attention? No, probably not. So the Holy Spirit is moving through you on their behalf. And all it is just coming over and sitting next to him and say, my name's Jeff, what's yours? So much of God's leadership is just paying attention. Well, the world has a plan to confuse you. That's not too hard to figure out. The culture we live in has a really loud voice, and it's really hard to ignore. When we begin to take the character and values of Jesus, take those on, and we begin to think like he thinks, we begin to hear the world's confusion and fear and realize that it's not coming from God, it's coming from someplace else. It might be coming from us, but usually it's coming from the enemy of our soul, which is a real thing. I mean, there's an enemy out there who doesn't want you to be happy and doesn't want you to prosper and doesn't want you to live. You know, he'll tell you, your life is meaningless and worthless. You ought to just, you know, leave. And it doesn't take too many of those thoughts before you realize that's how you feel about yourself too. He's like confirming the way that you feel. And yet something's trying to break through in the midst of that whole thing and saying, no, 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 you have no idea how valuable you are. And so you look at somebody that you respect and love, and they look at you with those eyes that communicate God's love, and you think, how can they love me when I don't even love myself? And you see all this inner dialogue that's going on? This is all the world at work and the enemy at work strategizing on how he can eliminate us from the equation. And we need to fight for each other. We need to love each other forcefully, love each other aggressively, but mostly love each other being led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead us and guide us into loving each other. I tell you, I would be so in trouble if I couldn't hug people, because there's something about touching people that's real. There's something about moving past the personal boundaries. And I know that it makes some people uncomfortable. Some of you get really uncomfortable. I hug you and you're like, okay, I think it's all right. But you soften over time and you realize that it's real. It's not weird. It's not with ulterior motives, but it's real. And there's so much breaking down that goes on when we're around each other. Just conversations can do that. Being thoughtful and caring and giving, kind can do that. You know, there's so many things that are just about to happen that we just need to agree with. There's so many things that God has for us that are right on the edge right now. He's just about ready to tell you something really important, really powerful. You need to pay attention. In order to pay attention, you have to stay focused, because we can be distracted and miss the thing that he wants to do. But the culture has a loud voice. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God's not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. I've had people quote that to me about this congregation. God is not a God of confusion, so clean up your act and get things in order here. You know, I'm like, I rebuke you. He's not a God of confusion, but he's not a God of structure either. He's not a God who finds his confidence in being able to structure things so that he can get the end result that he wants. You know what he's depending on? You. He's depending on you and me. He's not depending on the structure of the church. He's depending on you and me. There will be a huge harvest, a huge evangelistic thrust when you start talking about who Jesus is to you, to the people around you. It doesn't have to be standing on a street corner on a box preaching the word. It doesn't have to be going on an evangelistic outreach. I mean, what Josiah is going to do this Saturday and just taking people out, it's so casual. They're just going to clean up garbage. But be willing to engage with people and that they run into along the way. Be willing to talk to people. And at some point, be willing to say, you know, because they'll say this, why are you doing this? Why are you out picking up garbage? And you can say something as simple as, well, it just seems like something, if Jesus were here now, that's something he would do. He would do stuff like that. Why are you praying? Why do you care whether or not I get healed? It just seems like something he would do. Why do you want to pray for me? I don't know. When I pray, sometimes people get healed. So I might as well pray. Do you want me to pray for you? It's just that kind of engaging with people, real, authentic engaging with people, and not making it, you know, here, read this track and call me if you have any questions. They want to hear what it means to you. And when that starts to happen, there'll be a flood of people coming to Christ. I don't trust any evangelistic program. I just don't trust it, because all of them depend on people. All of them depend on whether or not we're going to be open and honest with how we think and feel. So when we get to that place where we can just tell people about what Jesus means to me and what he's doing in my life, I think that this, we're going to rock this whole region. If that starts happening in the churches in this region where we honestly open up and just talk about Jesus with people, anybody who will listen. And it's not like preaching at them. It's just telling them, you know, I get a lot of people come to me and say, this marriage just isn't working. I want out. I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And it's really tough. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be when you don't want to be married anymore. But it happens all the time to a lot of people. And so that conversation comes up a lot. And it's not just people in the church. When I was working as a respiratory therapist, working in the office at Internal Medicine Clinic, I was doing allergy shots. And so people would come in for 5 minutes to get an allergy shot. And I encountered these same people for years for 5 minutes a week. And yet there were people, all kinds of opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Because they would say, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can stay married. I don't know how I'm going to keep. And my one kind of tricky phrase to get into the midst of that is, if I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, I don't think I could either. And then we're talking about their marriage and we're talking about Jesus at the same time. And all it was, I don't think I could do that without Jesus in my life. I couldn't. And I still gravitate towards that kind of a conversation with somebody. I want them to know that I'm not going to judge them about whether or not they're going to get divorced or whether or not they can stay with this person. I want them to know that I'm vulnerable too. I'm vulnerable to those thoughts too. And if it wasn't for Jesus in my life, I would have those thoughts a lot more. As beautiful and talented and kind as my wife is. It's hard. It's difficult to do life. And you got to have some kind of response to people. You can't just tell them, you need to go to church. That's not going to work. They need to see love. They need to hear love. And so, you know, the world has a plan to confuse us. God has an answer to that plan. And the enemy has a plan to derail you. The plans and schemes of the enemy are real. The Greek word for the schemes of the enemy that comes out of 2 Corinthians 2 in your notes, is noema, which literally means the mind. It literally means the mind. This is really interesting. The schemes of the enemy are what he thinks. He just does what he thinks. It's the mind of the enemy. It's the way he thinks. The way he thinks is, if I can just get them separated from their God, you know, they can go to a prayer meeting, but if they don't actually connect with God at that prayer meeting, I've won. They can go to church, but if they don't actually engage with me, I've won. You know, they can say they're a Christian all they want, but if they come face to face with the reality of either living or dying because of your faith, I know I'm going to win that one. Because these are Americans. They would never choose to lay their life down. That's the way he thinks. The schemes of the enemy are the way he thinks about you. The way he thinks about us, the way he thinks about God, the way he thinks about our relationship with God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. And then again in chapter 11, I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, that your thoughts will be led astray, says in the ESV, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Your pure and undivided devotion. So what does that tell you? Pure and undivided devotion is how you counter the enemy's schemes. It's not by having schemes of your own. You don't try to figure out crafty ways to deal with the crafty one. You know, it's just, that's not how it works. Your pure and undivided devotion is the counterattack. It's your counterterrorism when it comes to the enemy's schemes. Your pure and undivided devotion to Christ. It's not how well you perform or how many people you get saved or how many people you get healed. It's your devotion to him. And so you can see why this is really important. This is what the whole focus of Deep Roots is all about. It's like boot camp for training us to have pure and undivided devotion to Christ. It isn't a time to come and be entertained by a great worship, or great, even though the worship's great. It isn't a time to come to hear a message. It's a time to, like a boot camp, learn how to be focused on Jesus. And it's really hard, isn't it? I mean, it's hard. You get so distracted. It's so distracting sometimes because things aren't the way you want them, or you want it to be upbeat when it's quiet, and you want it to be quiet when it's upbeat, and you want it to be, you know, stuff go on that will keep you your attention. And yet the whole idea is pure and undivided devotion to him. That's what we're trying to build at Deep Roots. So every time you walk away and feel like you've encountered God, you're getting it. You're getting it. If you feel like you were frustrated the whole time and distracted the whole time, then there's something going on that you're not really getting the benefit of what's going in there, because it's just a time. It's just time to spend with God. There's no magic to it. You're not going to become the mighty prayer warrior, the prophetic person that you want to be because you're at Deep Roots. But there's an opportunity for you to engage with God at a level that'll give you confidence in the future in your relationship with him. You can walk away from those times going, yeah, this is real. I think this is real, this thing that's going on between me and God. So he wants us to stay focused. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Pretty strong words. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same suffering you are. That's not really true. Your Christian brothers and sisters throughout the world are going through a much greater suffering than you're going through. You're just having to suffer through this. sitting there and listening to somebody talk. But people in China are suffering through some pretty crazy stuff. People in North Korea that are Christians don't have any food. People in the Middle East don't have any peace. There's conflict all around them. There's a lot going on in the world. So, let me wrap this thing up. Let's just pray for a minute. Maybe the Lord actually wants to do something here. I'm getting the sense that this is the sense I'm getting, that the Lord has brought some of you up to a line. And whether or not you cross that line is up to you, but he's calling you forward. Just close your eyes for a minute, because I don't want you to be distracted by what's going on in the room around us. If you're afraid to move forward with him, he's here for you. If you're confused about what the implications of moving forward would be, because you think that he's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do, he's going to ask you to commit at a level you aren't really ready to commit to, he's going to ask you to extend yourself into an area where you're uncomfortable, I just want to testify today. He is. If you're feeling like you come up to a line, and if you cross that line, things are going to change, I just want to say that's real. And I want to encourage you with all my heart to step over that line today. And it's just between you and God. You don't have to tell anybody. No one will know. You'll walk out of here and go out to lunch and do the same thing probably we're going to do anyway. But something will change inside you if you just step over that line. And the Holy Spirit's here today to give you courage to step over that line, to move forward. And if you're worried about the ramifications of this choice you're about to make to step forward, if you're worried about the implications, what it's going to cost you, how it's going to change you, I'll just say this. The Lord wants you to trust him. That it's not a guy up front with a microphone that's leading you, but it's his Spirit that's inside of you that's leading you. And he's just calling you to take a step of faith to move forward. And he wants to know what you had to say. So, respond to him. This is not an altar call. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and raise your hand or anything. This is a call that Jesus has in your life to step forward And if he's calling you to step forward, in your mind, just take a step forward and say, yes, I'll go, Lord, whatever it means. I'm doing that right now. That's me. I'm doing that. I want that. If you want it too, just say yes to him. But I don't know what I'm saying yes to. Yep, you don't. But this today could be the thing that changes everything for you. And you'll look back on it and go, that? It was just that? Yeah, just that. Just saying yes. See, he's got plans. He's got things he's doing. He's got a direction he's going. This, he's not waiting for us. He's doing things all around us all the time. He's doing things right now in the city. You know, and it can happen a lot of different ways. Right now, a guy by the name of Jake Hamilton's over in Rainier preaching right now. And I know who, what he's like and who he is. He is going to rock those people. And we've got a couple people over there listening to it right now, Kevin's wife, Nina. And we'll, so we'll find out whether that place got rocked. But I hope he nails it today. I hope he captivates hearts today. But what he's doing over there is no different than what the Holy Spirit just did in you. He's just calling us to move forward. We want to finish this thing we started. We don't want to just stop or coast, but we want to finish well. I want to finish well. The brilliance and beauty of becoming a friend of God. I love the way that sounds. The brilliance and beauty of becoming a friend of God. God's friends listen to what he has to say. When God's your friend, you have a high value for what he thinks and what's on his heart. When he wants you to talk, you're ready and listening. He wants to fill you in on what he's doing and what his plans are for the future. You may not see yourself that way, but he definitely sees you that way. I have some things I'm about to do, and I want to tell Randy about them. I want to tell Andrew about them. I want to tell Rick about them. I want to tell him. And it isn't because he wants you to do it all. It's because he wants you to know what he's about to do and know that you're invited, that you can come with him. It isn't that he wants you to change the world, but he's saying, I'm going to change the world. You want to go? You want to come with me? I'm going to change everything. You in? That's the Lord's evangelistic program. I'm going to change the world. You want in? You want a little of this? You want to go with me? You want to see what I'm about to do? God's friends listen to what he has to say. God's friends communicate with him courageously. I love this whole conversation. We won't talk about it too much with Abram, where God says, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, don't be afraid, Abram. I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? He's arguing with God. He's courageous enough. What did they say about Abraham? How did they describe him in Hebrews? Abraham is a friend of God. He's a friend of God. Enoch was a friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. This is the way friends talk. But what about this? It's okay to argue with the Lord if you're doing it out of courage. If you want to go where he wants you to go, you just can't figure out how it's all going to work. You can complain a little if you want to. But I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I'm too busy. I don't have whatever. I'm not talented and gifted enough to do that thing. And he's like, oh yeah, but I'm still going to go do this and you can come with me. And along the way, you're going to get smarter and richer and more bold as we go forward. You're gonna become something as we move forward. But if you gotta be able to communicate with me honestly and courageously. If you don't like what's going on, I understand that. It's still gonna happen. We're still going forward. And I'm not here to ask your advice. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do, and I'm inviting you in. But we can talk about it. Because I'm confident of where I'm. That's the reason why. It's because he's confident in where he's going. There's no question in the Lord's mind about what he's about to do. So God's friends communicate with him courageously. God's friends are obedient, even when it's difficult. Mostly when it's difficult. God's friends are obedient, mostly when it's difficult. If it's easy to be obedient, you got to really ask yourself whether you're being obedient at the level that he wants you to, because it's always challenging. Obedience is challenging. Trusting him and being obedient is challenging. But God's friends are obedient even when it's difficult. I put this in there. This is just the way I think at 11 o'clock at night. Believe it or not, the Lord is not obligated to share every detail about unfolding plans in our lives. In many cases, we're operating on a need-to-know basis. This is after I watched the Navy SEAL thing, or listened to the Navy SEAL thing. The reason is simple. If we aren't sure how things will play out as we look ahead, we're much more likely to position ourselves to trust in the leadership of Jesus and depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to stay on track. Again, it's not just about obedience, but it's about focus, staying focused on our part. We have to stay focused. Listen, there's a lot of reasons to not stay focused. There's a lot of reasons why we struggle. There's a lot of reasons why we're not more confident and bold. But I think some of us just need to realize that this thing is moving forward, that it never stops. He never stalls. There's never a rest. A couple years ago, I took a sabbatical, which I don't even know how to spell that word, but it was a break. It was mostly because I'd just taken care of my grandmother, my mom, and my dad in a period of about a year, and they'd all passed away and dealing with their estates, and I was exhausted. So I took a break. But the reason I was taking a break was not to rest, but to get restored. And you get restored, and that's forward movement. Restoration is forward movement. Restoration isn't parking. I didn't want to park. In fact, after about 6 hours of parking, I got really bored. I wanted to move forward. So I had 6 weeks to rest, and I just packed it full of stuff that challenged me to move forward in my relationship with God. Books I was reading, mountains I was trying to climb, really tiny parts of a mountain, not a big part of a mountain. But it was all uphill, trust me. It was an uphill climb. But it was because I wanted to spend that time getting restored, and a lot of times you get restored by moving forward. If you're struggling with health, if you're struggling with emotional stuff, if you're struggling with staying focused, staying on track, my encouragement to you is begin to move forward. Move forward. Read something. Spend some time with somebody who's smarter than you are, you know, instead of spending all your time around people who are dumber than you are. Have coffee with somebody smarter than you are. Learn something. Gather some information. There's people who are smarter than I am. I like spending my time around them. Thank you, Kevin, for that affirmation. That was a declaration. That wasn't a question. There are people that are smart. Go spend time with them. Spend time instead of just parking in front of the TV. Park in front of a movie that will stir you. Stir your emotions. Cause you to move forward. You know, drive down to Portland and walk through the streets and just see what the people look like outside of your town. I guarantee you, if you spend an hour or two in Portland walking around downtown, you'll like Longview a lot better. You'll just like it a lot better. You know, if you're worried about this being the devil's playground and infested with evil, go spend some time in a place that's really evil and get some perspective. You know? Because this is not a bad place to live. I've got a t-shirt that says, Longview doesn't suck, you do. Jody hates when I wear it. But I thought it was a brilliant t-shirt. It's available at a little shop down in Commerce. Longview doesn't suck. You don't. This is a great place to raise kids. This is a great place to be a young person, you know, 20 to 30-year-old. There's some things that are going to happen in this city. I'll tell you, Mark Schmutz at Northlake Baptist just hired his son to be an associate pastor at his church. Christian's going to be a pastor in the city. He's going to pastor in the city. I think it's going to open the floodgates for people like him, because he has friends. He has some friends that don't live here anymore that may just actually come back, because there might be an open door here now. The girl that's working there and doing their children's ministry, Miranda, is a 24-year-old that's bold and courageous. She's going to open the door for some people. There's going to be people here who do the same thing. I think David Curtis, who led worship today, could open the door in worship for some things to happen that are powerful. My heart went out to him today because he hasn't led worship for 6 months because his wife was busy with a baby or something like that. So I'm sure it was a little bit, he was a little rusty today, but in my heart I was going, Joe, go, David, just go for it. Don't let anything hold you back, because whatever happens next generationally will be things that he puts into place, things that those people put into place. So I think some things are going to change dramatically in the city in the next 5 or 10 years. Leadership is going to change. Ideas are going to change. The church is going to look different. So, forward movement isn't just doing this for the next 10 years. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. It's going to be challenging if you're over 35. It's going to be challenging, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready to move forward. I want to see the church become what God wants it to be in this next move. I want to see what it looks like. And I don't want to watch it from the sidelines. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to be cheering leaders on. I want to be developing leaders who will change the world, at least in Kelso Longview, in this region. Let's stand up. I just really believe we're about ready to see some amazing things happen. And a lot of it is going to happen because you choose to move forward. If you choose not to move forward, it's going to be pretty rough for you, I think. I think every day that you choose not to move forward, you lose a little bit. You lose a little bit of faith. You lose a little bit of hunger. You don't forget what the word says necessarily, because you remember that. You remember what it's like to be in a relationship with God, but what you lose is confidence. And we need to be really confident. When I said, I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading every single one of you in this room, that's the confidence you need to have as we move forward. You need to believe that there's more going on than what you see. You need to believe that there's more going on than what you see. That's the Holy Spirit. You need to believe that there's more going on than what you see. It's not about what you see. It's about what he's doing. And from our personal perspective, it's about saying yes to what he's doing. Some of you may have heard his voice today calling you to a place that you don't know whether you're ready to go to. I would encourage you, say yes before you think about it. Ready, fire, aim. That's my motto, ready, fire, aim. May go against the whole focus thing, but I'm pretty confident that the guy who is in me, the God who is in me and the Spirit who dwells in me is ready to fire all the time. He's not waiting for me to aim. He's ready to fire. So, Lord, we ask you to fire in our lives. We ask you to start shooting in our lives. You've already aimed at a target. We say yes to you, Lord. Begin to work through me. Begin to move through me. Begin to show yourself to the world around me that you're real through me, Lord, not just around me. You've called us to show up. Today we've shown up. We're here, Lord. Take us forward. Move us forward, we pray. And we pray that for our friends, our family. We pray that for other churches. I don't pray this just for Evangel. I pray this for every church in the city, that they begin to say yes to you, especially yes to things that they can't comprehend, that they aren't ready for, that they're not necessarily willing to do right now, but they will be soon. I pray for a whole generation of leaders that needs to rise up and boldly and courageously do what you've called them to do, no matter what anybody says. Do you start to get the feeling that things could change? Mm-mm-mm. Careful what you pray for. Amen.